All right, as for the invitation to preach, Brother Rogers will be speaking next, and I believe Brother Titus had asked him a few minutes ago to preach. Is that right? No, okay. All right, I was talking out of school. What I heard someone say, well, Brother Titus, I'll tell this, you'll have to straighten it out. Brother Titus asked me Tuesday night to preach today. And so someone once said, if you want me to, preach a sermon, you want me to preach a 15-minute sermon, give me 3 days to prepare for it. If you want me to preach an hour sermon, just ask me right on the spot there, you see. It's easy to do it that way. Good to be here and to attend this conference and to be asked to speak in this conference to you. It's really a privilege. Before I get into the message, I want to clear something up for Brother Myers. Where did he go? Is he still here? There he is. I'll figure this out, and I'll show you how smart I am. Brother Myers said he was born in Detroit, but I told Brother Dean Smith the day he was born, he was moved to Tennessee. And that was obvious. But little did I know that he told us, he said when he's 6 months old, he moved to Tennessee. I mean, we know that, folks. I mean, he didn't get that up here. No way. No way. That is obvious. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read the first 6 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I suppose that maybe one out of every 25 sermons I preach or something like that, I may put a title on my sermon. I usually don't. It's just preaching on a subject. But one of my kids the other night after we were leaving here kind of inspired me and gave me a thought for this message. We got in the van to go home, and one of my children said, as we've heard so many say or ask the question, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Next month, toward the end of next month, you'll be hearing a lot of people going to the cemetery, and they'll buy a wreath, and they'll take the wreath, lay it there on the grave or around in the cemetery. And so I thought about this when my child said that. It just stuck in my mind as I was driving back home. So I'm going to title this message, Where's the Wreath? I don't believe there's anybody in there. I really don't. I want to preach to you this evening, this afternoon, why I don't believe that anybody's in there. 4 reasons. Number 1, I don't believe, and I take my text from verse 6, he is not here. He took them into the tomb, and he said, He is not here, for he is risen as he said. The first reason that I believe that nobody is in there is because the Bible says so. Now listen to me. God said it, and that's it. Now men today say, well, I don't know about that. I believe some things about this man you're preaching about, but I don't know that this is true about him being alive today. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, Let all men. Let God be true and all men liars. Listen, folks, it takes Christ to be a Christian. I talked with an elderly man. I'm sure by now he's dead and gone. I asked him once, I said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Well, I wanted to talk to him about that." And I said, "In other words, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that he was buried and laid in the tomb, and that he was raised from the dead." And he interrupted me, and he said, wait a minute. Now, I didn't say that. You see, folks, it takes Christ to be a Christian. And the Bible tells us that if Christ be not raised from the dead, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, says that ye are yet in your sins. Folks, I don't believe there's anybody in there. I don't believe that Jesus is dead. I believe that our Lord is alive. Now, it's not because the devil hasn't been tried, because the Bible tells us and gives us a very clear description of the crucifixion. Nailed to the cross, and he died such a horrible death. And listen, even at times, it might have looked like, and according to the Bible, some of his disciples even thought about that the world had proven just a little too much for him. He was great in power in his healing and in his dealing with death, and his teachings he taught was as one having great authority. But at this time, there was some. And you just read over in the book of Luke, there were some men who had hoped that this had been him, and as they walked down the road, and they were discouraged over what they had heard and what had taken place. It seemed as though the world had proven too much for him, taken from a cross and laid in another man's grave. Listen as I read to you from Matthew 27, verses 65 and 66. Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They were concerned about him getting out. They were concerned about others getting in and carrying him out and hiding him and saying, "See, he resurrected as he..." So Pilate said, "Look, this is enough. You go. You have a watch. You set that. You put the stone in there. You seal that. Put your guards there. You make sure that no one gets out." Folks, listen. After Jesus died and was laid in that tomb, perhaps Satan came to death, couldn't get in the tomb, but maybe went to the stone, and he just inside, he said, "Death, have you still got that man Jesus in there?" And death says, "Yes, I got him. He's not moved since they put him in here. He's not moved." Satan says, "Good, you keep him there." Satan came the second time, and he said, "Death, have you still got that troublemaker in there? Have you still got that opposition in there?" "Yes, he's still here. I've got a hold on him." And then the third time, Satan came, and he spoke to death, and he said, "Death, do you still have that man in there?" And death says, "No, he's gone. The grave clothes are here, but he's gone. I couldn't hold him. I had him, but now he's gone."
Amen.
Folks, I believe that he's not in there.
Amen.
There's no one in there.
Amen.
I believe that he is alive. Folks, I say this without any hesitation, without any reservation, without any apology to any man. Yes, I believe that Jesus is alive today.
Amen.
Now, I don't know that I'm ever going to be able to make it to the Holy Land. I know that's over in the Middle East, and sometimes I listen to the news and I don't know if I want to go. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you go on tours, they take these tours and they go to the Holy Land. And I've had some to tell me. They've been there and they get right to the to the step. Now, I don't know this for sure. Is it a tradition or is it a fact? They know where that tomb is. I really don't know. But I've had some to tell me that they walk down the steps in that tomb and their knees just give way and they just shake and just quake and they're just so moved by that experience of being in the tomb. Folks, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. Financially, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to afford to go over there. But you know, listen, if I never make it, that's all right with me because I will see the Lord in glory.
Amen.
It'll be fine with me. Now, I don't know how you are. Maybe you can face it and it doesn't bother you at all. But to me, I don't particularly like funerals and being around death. There just seems to be a stench about death. And you look at someone and say, well, don't they look natural? I've never been able to figure that out. You mean they never did look any better than that when they were alive, you know? Death is not natural, you know, and it just seems there's something about it. It just doesn't suit me. So if I never get to go to the place supposedly where he was laid, that'll be all right with me. I believe Jesus is alive. Amen. The tomb that he was laid in means no more to me than if we had the cross that he was crucified on.
That's right. Amen.
Doesn't mean anything. Amen. He's not dead. He's not in the grave.
Amen.
So we don't need to celebrate, you know, this. I suppose now this one fella used to do it. I don't know if he does it anymore, but all on television, all over the country, he goes and stands down there, and everyone at home has their communion cup, and they all take it together while he stands there, you know, shaking and everything in the tomb. Folks, I believe that Jesus is alive today because the Bible says so. Number two, I believe that nobody's in there because of the way lives are still being changed today. Now remember that our Lord was crucified at an early age. And on the day of his execution, he said this to his disciples, I have overcome the world. And we know that it is a fact of history that out of the life of this young man who was put to death as a criminal, that out of his life has flowed the most penetrating and transforming and uplifting power in all of history. Listen, we know this to be a fact, that without money and without arms, he has captured millions and millions more than all of the great generals in all of history.
Amen.
He's able to do that. Amen. I believe that he's not there because of what he has done and what he is still doing today in the lives of people.
Amen.
Think about that. I believe, and I know, I wouldn't know half of the people here, but I do know several people here. But I could ask many, especially the men, well, that's about all I'd ever ask anyway, to stand up and give a testimony of what the Lord has done for you. And I'm not going to call on anyone, but I might mention someone because I've heard him give his personal testimony. He told it to me, Brother Clyde Hancock. But you know, Brother Hancock is just one of many that could stand and give a great testimony to what God has done for you. And you could tell us all about the sin that you were in. You could tell us about the crime of your life. You could tell us about the heart condition and how that you were so far away from God and how that God in His grace, all because of His grace, how that God in His grace had saved you and changed your life. You women, you know, you can do the same thing in a prayer group or in a ladies' meeting or something like that. I've heard women give their testimonies, you know, to me in their home or something like that. Marvelous testimonies how God has saved. Lives maybe that were never stenched with sin and were never down wallowing in the pits of sin, but lives nevertheless that needed to be changed so that they might be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't believe that there's anybody in there because of the way that lives are still being changed today. Listen, this is why I enjoy being a preacher, because I know that when I preach God's Word, and people respond to God's word, that lives are changed. Changed. He, Jesus said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Folks, he satisfies the deepest hunger of our souls, doesn't he? He satisfies every longing that we have. The Bible tells us that all men are just like sheep have gone astray. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And there's those lives that wandering around aimlessly and no hope and no purpose. And he comes in out of the tomb. He comes into our lives and transforms us and gives us a name, gives us a purpose, gives us a reason for living. Someone once said long ago that he saves us on purpose and for a purpose. And I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
I don't believe that there's anyone in there because of the way that lives are being changed today. I believe because of the testimony of so many that are being changed daily into the image of Jesus Christ, that he's not dead, but he's alive. I'd like to quote to you, or read a quote from Fox's Book of Martyrs. I was reading that. I've started reading some of this in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. One man giving his life, a man who was tied to the stake, and who became a human torch. And the account says that his skin was drawn together, his flesh being consumed with fire for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He would not renounce his faith, believing in God, trusting in the Lord. He gave his life. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone burn or who has been burned. Oh, what a mess. You know, that flesh becomes just like water, and it just rolls. And the account says that this man's flesh began to just melt and run. And there were some around who were watching this act, this murder. But he told his friends, he said, if there is comfort in the flames, and if God is with me, long as I can feel the comfort of God, I'll raise my hands above my head and I'll clap my hands. And he began to do that after he had been on the stake for a long time. Continued to clap. That meaning that he was being comforted by the Lord. Think about that. Yes, I believe that he's not in there because of men that will give their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Quoting again from Fox's Book of Martyrs, another prayed, God, forgive me mine unthankfulness for this exceeding great mercy that amongst so many thousands you've chosen me to suffer. A vile, wretched hypocrite that I am, that you would send for me in a chariot of fire as you did Elijah. And became a human torch. Yes, I believe that he's not in the tomb. I believe that he lives today. And he lives today in the hearts of people who will be willing to die and give their life. The book of Acts in chapter 5 and verse 41. The account in the fifth chapter had to do with the apostles who were, Peter and the other apostles were preaching. And they had been cast in prison for the preaching and for the message of salvation that they had been preaching. And they'd been put in prison. And the Bible says in verse 41 of that chapter, they went out rejoicing. They were counted worthy to suffer for him. Think about it. Yes, I believe the tomb is empty. Yes, I believe that there's nobody in there. I don't believe there's anyone in there because of the testimony of men down through time. What about any contemporaries? Do we have any contemporaries that we could think of? I believe we do. And I take this point in my message as a testimony that I heard the other night from Brother Tim Hilly about his father. We stood back there in the church, and I couldn't help but put this in my message when he told us about his father. He said, here's a man in such pain and never complaining. And the doctors have said after his surgery, we don't know how long he's going to live. We just don't know. And our brother said to his doctors, the Lord is through. And I'll do it. Until the Lord sees differently, I'll be here.
Amen.
I'll stay here. Brother Tim said, now my dad sets it home. My dad weeps because he can't go to church. My dad says, people who are able to go to church, why don't they go to church? Why don't they go to church? Weeping, a man wanting to go to church. Folks, I believe that Christ is alive today for people like Harry Healy who want to go to church.
Amen. Amen.
In sickness and in health.
Amen.
Dying, perhaps. God only knows what's going to happen. But he wants to go to church. And I'll tell you something. He doesn't want to go to church because he's dying.
Amen. Amen.
He wants to go to church, matter of fact, because he has already died.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Folks, listen. I did not say this about our brother to just be emotional. I believe it. And I believe that perhaps you other preachers and other people, you could name other Christians in this day and time that we know. Oh yes, we enjoy reading about the apostles. Yes, we enjoy reading about those who have given their lives as a testimony of Christ. But how good it is to know someone personally.
Amen.
I've shook the hand. I've preached on the conference with Brother Healy. I know this man. I know this person. I know these over here. Hey, it does us good, folks, to know that there are some people in our day and time that feel that way.
Amen.
We've been together with and we've shared together.
Amen.
We don't have to look back just into history and find those who have been heroes and they have been mighty men for God. Folks are still around.
Amen.
Still around. One brother said it, and I don't know who it was, so I won't even try to recall who said it, but I believe he said it right. Oh, that Brother Healy could know him, but he would like to be. He'd like to be here, right here, right today, right where the preaching of the word is. He'd rather be here, as Bob Jones said, than in the best hospital in the whole world. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Folks, I don't believe there's anybody in that too. Because of the influence that he's having. And the power and moving upon lives today. Folks, this is our encouragement to keep on. Keeping on. You know that? Even today, Christ somehow steps across 20 centuries and he breaks into our lives and enables us to say, even as old Simon Peter of old, thou art the Christ. I know not how his wondrous grace to me he did impart, but he did it. By his power and by his grace, he did it. And he's still transforming lives today.
Amen.
Number three, I don't believe there's anybody in there because of what he told the church. When he started his church, listen to me, when he started his church, he said, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. Now you think about it. I believe that his true churches are the only organizations that have not sold out completely to Satan. You believe that? Hey, listen, businesses have sold out to Satan. Politicians have sold out to Satan, haven't they? I was down in Kentucky just about 2 weeks ago or so, and And I was just curious, and I asked someone, I said, say, how's the new governor, Martha Lane Collins? I said, how's the new governor working out down there? Anybody here from Kentucky? I'm going to get whooped over this. I said, how they doing? And they were furious. Not too good. I mean, she said she wasn't going to raise taxes, and now she's already started to raise taxes. And I said, buddy, I'll tell you, I said, we got a thing up north. They started a thing up north and take care of that. One word, recall. Y'all heard that yet? And hey, I might have got something started down there. In Michigan, that's popular. They've been recalling, you know what? They've been recalling liars, as far as I can tell. People have said one thing, and they have campaigned one thing, and they've even spoken to Christian groups and said, hey, we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this. And Brother Jones, the reason that your taxes came to you the other day, because politicians are selling us out.
Amen.
They come around to churches, and they get on religious leaders, and they try to butter up to the preachers and the ministers and the Bible conferences and so on, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Folks, don't you believe it? They're just selling us a bill of goods to get in, but they're telling us things that are not true. And I don't know if we'll ever get all these yahoos recalled. I don't know if there's enough time to get them all recalled. But God's going to take care of all this business, you know it? Hey, listen, politicians, don't you put your hope and trust in no politician. I don't care if he's a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or whatever. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. We're living in the days when we're going to find out who's on the Lord's side and who's going to be a Republican and who's going to be a Democrat. You know? Boy, I've just really gotten... We'll talk about this later, won't we? I believe it, folks. I believe it. Don't you sink much stock in these fellas, because they're not going to do us any good. They're not our salvation. They're not our hope. They sell out for a song. They sell out for a dollar. They sell out for one thing and then another. And what about the social programs? Supposed to have been good. They've sold it out. They've just completely give in to the devil, haven't they? What about education? Education. Sold out to the devil. Sold out to the devil. I won't call this man's name, this preacher. I'll tell you, he's dead now. And he has answered already to the Lord, whether he was saved or whether he was lost. I really don't know, because he sure did carry a bad testimony in this life. But he was pastoring a big Baptist church. And he was on the board, the State Board of Education in the state of Kentucky. And he was against teaching creationism in the schools. You know who I'm talking about, Brother Smith? And he's dead now, too. Sold out. Preachers selling out. Hey, I don't know how much we're supposed to be involved in all that either. You just can't run from it. I know that. You got to stand up. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we get out there and we forget the pulpit and forget the sheep. And they go astray while we're out there trying to reform society. But I believe, folks, that there's nobody in there because of the commission and what he told his church. He said, I will be with you always. And you know what? If he's not, he told us an untruth. If we can't believe him on that, then what else can we believe him on? I believe that his churches, or his kind of churches, they are the dike, or they are, as it were, the levee, are the bulwarks in the paths of the onslaught of Satan, as the brother was preaching about our adversary. But I believe it's God's people. I believe it's his kind of churches that are preaching and contending for the truth, that are holding back. Holding back. Holding back. I don't think people in Mount Morris really understand or could begin to appreciate what the testimony and the preaching and the truths of this church, how that God may be working in just this area because of this church. Or the church in your area. Or the church in your community. They just don't realize. Just don't realize. Hey, they don't realize just how that some goodness is coming down from heaven. And sometimes they're just partakers of it, you know, because they just happen to live around us. You believe that? Yes, I believe that his churches are swords that have been forged in heaven's arsenal, and they are used to be used to divide and conquer the ranks
right.
of Satan. But now we better be careful. We better be careful that we do not try to divide and conquer our brethren.
Amen.
You know, we better watch out about that. Jesus said in one of his lessons that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot stand. The state flag, state of Kentucky, says on the flag, "United we stand, divided we fall." Brother Chuny, I'll tell you, I knew that I got up here in the north and so on when, you know, up here you mentioned the Kentucky state flag. It just doesn't seem to faze anybody. Down home, they all stand up, stand attention, you know, and they get moved. But you mentioned Kentucky flag up here, and it just doesn't seem to do anything to people up here. I don't know why. Hey, united we stand, divided we fall. You say, but now, the church I pastor and my people, we are independent Baptists. That's all right. You ought to be independent Baptists. But united we stand and divided we fall. But you see, no other church has any say-so over my church. Fine. That's the way it ought to be. But united we stand, divided we fall. Don't forget that. Folks, and preachers, churches, I need you. You need me. You say, well, we're doing just fine where we are and so on. You just keep on in that attitude and you'll just keep right on slowly dying, you know. You'll be standing out there. I'm not saying that you can't survive. But united we stand, and divided we fall. You believe that? I surely do. Listen, you know, our commission, I believe that it's just as real today as it was the day that the Lord spoke it.
Amen.
Just as real today. You know what amazes me? When I was in the Army, I remember down in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, out on the parade field as we were graduating, the whole battalion, the company and the regiments and the battalion, and we were all out on the parade field. And one man was given the commands. And as he spoke with that commanding voice, every soldier out there did exactly the same thing. Everyone made an about face, right face, left face, forward, to the rear march, whatever the command was, one voice. And I'll tell you something, he didn't repeat it. I said, move over. I said, move to the right or move to the left. He didn't do that. He gave the command and you could hear it in unison. Everyone moving at his command. And folks, I believe that when the Lord spoke that way back then, that command is being heard even today, and we better be listening, and we better
Amen.
Move just as he said.
Amen.
Move that way. The door, he says, I open doors unto you. Move through that door. He said, I close doors for you. We've all experienced that.
Amen.
And when he closes them, don't try to open them, because he done said no man can open what I've closed. No, I really don't. I don't believe there's anybody in there. Because of what he said to his church. Every generation needs to be regenerated, and every generation needs to be indoctrinated. When that generation's gone, we're here, and we're gone, another generation, until the Lord comes again. His first message after his resurrection, you can read on down through the 28th chapter of Matthew, and you'll see even the rest of his message was this. He told the woman there. Mary was the first one. And his message to her was, go and tell. Go and tell. And then in the same chapter, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye therefore. And I believe that he was basing that command upon the fact that he said, I'm resurrected, I'm alive, here I am. Everything that I've told you, you've seen me. Go now. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Based upon his resurrection, the truth, the fact of his resurrection. And then lastly, I don't believe he's in there. I really don't. Because he said he was coming again.
Amen.
He said he was coming again.
Amen.
This is our hope. Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, folks, he's not in the tomb. He's not in the grave. No. I'm not worried about the tomb. It's just not that important. Because he's alive. He's alive. We must believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we must not hang around the tomb.
Amen.
Go and tell was the message. Go and witness. He said, because I am coming again. That where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that glorious, folks?
Amen.
Just keep on keeping on, because he's going to keep on being with us. He's going to stay with us. Then one day the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, not another. He's not going to send a Moses. He's not going to send an Elijah. He's not going to send Aaron. He's not going to send anyone like that. The Bible says, for the Lord himself,
amen,
shall descend from heaven.
Amen.
That's where he is now. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. And I may not ever be able to fully understand what they're talking about, the shroud, and who it really was that was in that shroud. They're shrewd, aren't they? Doesn't make any difference, folks, because one of these days we will see him in his regal apparel. We'll see him in that robe. Royalty. We'll see him. And if they never determine whether that was his or not, I don't care. I don't care. He's not dead. He's alive.
Amen.
Tell you what, if they spend half as much energy and half as much money on trying to research that, to get out and say, folks, he's not dead, he's alive, I believe the Lord would be greatly pleased with that, don't you?
Amen.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's not there. He's not there. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart.
Amen.
He lives within your heart. He is there. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That narrows it down to just a many are called, but few are chosen, isn't it? That narrows it down when you begin to talk about that way. But he's coming. He's coming again. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to his coming. Let me close in reading to you from 1 John. 1 John and chapter 2. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't know exactly when he's coming. I just don't know that. Tonight, I'm going to tell you tonight, when the Lord is coming, and the Lord is coming, if he's really coming.
Let us not be ashamed. He's coming for us.
Amen.
We don't want to be out. We're not sure about it. Some people have their theology all sold up. I'm getting there. I don't know it all yet. The church where I'm pastoring, they don't know that I don't know everything. They think I know everything. I don't know all that yet. They hired me thinking I'm in call. They saw me thinking I know everything. Well, they're in for a big surprise. But they're getting there. One thing I do make sure. Don't.